fighting for America.
Not only do we have to win this legal fight, but we're still going to have to pass a law through Congress. The bottom line is, Jose, that I'm using all of the legal power vested in me.
Fighting for Idaho.
We're in a kind of situation where, the end of the Roman Republic 2,000 years ago, and it's very disturbing, completely apart from the substance of immigration policy.
Fighting for you.
Thank goodness that you're there to at least allow us a voice. We need that. And we love you, brother. And we love the guests that you bring on. You're amazing.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you. Thank you all for joining us. Phone numbers 580-5436. 580-KIDO, as we move along. Lots to talk about today. Net neutrality, Obama's plan to ban bullets. And here I thought we would just kind of have, how should I put this? We would just kind of have an easy day where we talk a little bit about, Rachel Maddow's comments about the state of Idaho. And about what happened with Vito Barbieri. And those of you that have young people, folks, it's a scary world that we live in. And we see the impact, the influence that Mr. Obama has had, that President Obama has had on the young people. That 50 Shades of Grey have had on the young people. I was talking to Dave Burnett, if you missed it, just moments ago, and he was relaying something that was kind of passed around here in the company. And it was one of our coworkers having something to comment about with Representative Barbieri. To me, I found it offensive. I found it inappropriate. And we're not going to talk about internal company politics here. But I am going to say it highlights the generational differences that we have here in America today. We have those people of value, of substance, of principle, and then you have the LCD crowd, or as Mark Levin calls it, the low information voter. But for me, it's always been the lowest common denominator. And we must, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but we must commit ourselves to saving the young people of this country. And age is a wonderful thing. People always talk about, I hate getting old. I love getting old. I was born old. Mrs. Miller will tell you that. I was born old, and I embrace it because it gives you perspective. And you think back to yourself, boy, how young and stupid that I am, that I was. So I'm looking at the young people that have got to be the most misguided folks in America today. And we have to, it is our mission to save them as the World War II generation saved us from tyranny, from communism. Here's my point. Older, wiser Kevin Miller goes back to young, flame-throwing Kevin Miller. And I used to talk about the young people this, the young people that. These folks, these kids, these millennials never had the magic of Ronald Reagan. They never had the world of morality, of right, of wrong. Think about what they've grown up in, the 18 to 34-year-olds, or even a little tad older. My surrogate father was Ronald Reagan. He came into office, I was 12. When he left, I was 20. Reagan was always there. Reagan brought us back. The world was always better under Reagan. He loved his wife. He loved his country, and he brought us all along in the magical journey we call the Reagan Revolution. It amazes me today that our politicians still talk of Reagan because there hasn't been the next Reagan. And maybe the media will never allow another Reagan to appear, to exist, to champion, to bring us back from the abyss as Reagan brought us back from the disaster that was Jimmy Carter. Perhaps that will never happen. Think of the two major influences on our beloved young people today. Bill Skeezy Sleazy Clinton. Bill, what's the definition is, and Barack Hussein Obama. B-H-O. BHO in the house, y'all. Let's bring a Jay-Z and Beyonce and everybody else to town. A man that has circumvented the Constitution, not by Kevin Miller speak, but by what federal judges say. He's got the panty-waist, pencil-neck geeks in Congress so scared, he's breaking laws, he's making laws, and they don't care. Because they just want their cushy jobs and their nice pensions and Rachel Maddow, not to beat up on him. Please don't hurt me, Rachel. And I look at our dear young people today, and they buy this stuff, where you have a great man, Vito Barbieri, ridiculed, vilified, for trying to stick up for the unborn. You know, it's funny to me, and I've learned a lot from David Ripley and Idaho Chooses Life and others like him. When I go to their yearly conference, it's not about hate, it's about love. And these young people today need to understand that conservatism, morality, is about love. Faith, family, and freedom are not bad words, everybody. That's what we need to do to save them. That's what we need to do to make America great again. America's a great country, but look at the news today. We've got the Department of the Internet. Congress didn't vote for that. The president didn't vote for that. His jabronis, his acolytes, his slappies voted for net neutrality. No, it's funny. I was listening to some programs and people going, hey, man, you tell me what net neutrality is. Basically, the government comes over and decides what is on your computer. The government decides who and what you can listen to. The government decides everything. So the end of the free internet is over, to quote Bill Clinton. Let's get the latest from Rachel Sutherland. And by the way, I can't leave this out. Another big story, Obama to ban bullets by executive action. The president is going to ban ammunition by executive action. Say it ain't so. That's coming up. By the way, our friend Greg Pruitt, Idaho Second Amendment Alliance, he's coming in at 7 o'clock because people have alleged that he and his crew are harassing lawmakers. Wow. By phoning them, lobbying them.
Lawsuits are expected now that the SEC has approved rules that prohibit broadband providers from giving some companies fast lanes while slowing down other content. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler says it's about openness and expression.
This is no more a plan to regulate the internet than the First Amendment is a plan to regulate free speech.
Verizon has successfully sued the FCC before to block a similar set of rules. Republican lawmakers have signaled they're not happy with the regulations. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says they'll strike a blow to the future of innovation. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
Here's what gets me at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, is you have the statement there by Rachel Sutherland, not Rachel Maddow, that some sites are going to be a little slower. Other sites are going to be a little faster. Do you think you know which sites are going to be slower? Do you think which sites are going to have to pay more money? Did you hear the top of the hour news, by the way, from the ubiquitous Rachel Sutherland here at 580-KIDO? You might have missed that. Where all of a sudden, lo and behold, hey, they found some IRS files, everybody. Can you believe that? They have found the IRS files that a lot of people said didn't exist. All they had to do was go back and take a look. So this is an administration that has targeted journalists. This is an administration that has targeted other folks. And now we're going to trust them with the internet. By the way, before we get back to the internet, folks, get ready for the Kevin Miller Have a Cup of Milk game here, where we're going to go over the recent scandals. Shall we play the music, Sweet William?
Federal investigators revealing they've uncovered 32,000 emails possibly linked to allegations the agency targeted conservative groups applying for tax-exempt status. Emails were to and from Lois Lerner, a former IRS official at the center of the scandal. Congress requested the emails from the agency, but over the summer, officials told lawmakers most of them had been lost when Lerner's computer crashed. But now we're learning the IRS never even asked technicians to look for the tapes. And when independent investigators started looking around, they found them in just a few days. The IRS Inspector General is investigating possible criminal activity linked to the emails and tapes. It's unclear as to what kind of information they found in the emails or if they've uncovered any new information.
Here you have it, friends, true believers, countrymen, and others. Here is the correct information. The journalists, the Associated Press, the Tea Party, everybody else associated with Freedom in America Today, taken down by this administration. Now we've given them the ability to take over the internet. Now, thank goodness that Verizon, thank goodness that other companies, Sprint, are going to challenge the FCC, and hopefully it will be tied up for many, many years before they can implement this, before they can put new taxes on it. That's the big concern, right? But think about this at 580-5436. And look, this is why our new crusade is to save the young people, because gosh knows they need it. Most of them are going to be, they think politics revolves around House of Cards. Well, we're here to fight the House of Obama, because the president, with the gun grab, which we'll talk about next, with the IRS, I mean, look at that. Did you hear that report? They didn't even ask the technicians about the emails. Well, of course they didn't ask the technicians about the emails, friends. Thank goodness Judicial Watch, who we have on this program quite a bit, filed a FOIA request, filed lawsuits to keep these guys, to keep these jokers intact. It wasn't John Boehner. It wasn't the big crew at in the House. It wasn't our elected officials. It was volunteers and activists from Judicial Watch that made that happen. So, my friends, this is not a good thing, because the administration, from the administration that brought you the IRS scandal, the NSA snooping, and gosh knows whatever else. Oh, yes, the executive actions to legalize the illegals and ban guns, everybody. We've decided to become your internet provider. We call it Obama Prodigy 2.0. Is this a good thing? No, of course not. But remember, the young people, Gustavo and others, listening on their way at the computer science program at BSU, saying, Kevin, I think it's great. It's wonderful that the government takes over. So if Kevin Miller ever got his act together, as Mrs. Miller points out quite a bit, and came up with KevinMillerShow.com, you'd be back to dial up for that one. 580KIDO.com, dial up for that one. Your favorite conservative website, dial up. Now, Libby Lib, boom, it's there. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be favoritism. We've already seen it. We've seen it with the tax code. We've seen it with snooping. We've seen it with audits. We've seen it with the God-fearing religious true believers that passed Prop 8 in California that were audited, that had their businesses seized, that were investigated for exercising their constitutional rights. Your thoughts next, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll hear the latest from CPAC, where all the GOP wannabes that want your vote say, I'm going to be a conservative. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, oh, he's back. How many of you stayed up last night at 12:01 to watch the House of Cards premiere? Ray, I think we should call this program Frank Underwood Friday. We'll explain next. Time for traffic now at
Treasure Valley.
We have a wonderful internet system. They want to regulate it. They want to tax it. They want to control it.
This is no more a plan to regulate the internet.
Lower bandwidth.
And the First Amendment is a plan to regulate free speech.
Lower performance.
If the government gets control of the internet, they can censor what you go to.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The ayes have it.
The ayes have it. It's the end of the world.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, as at the end of the world, we're talking net neutrality. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. And I don't know if this gentleman is listening, but if he is, we're honored to have him here. It's our friend Holland Cook, one of the foremost media consultants in the country, sent me this leak, this link. The FCC's new net neutrality rules explained by Vox, which, by the way, is by Ursa Klein, a progressive, a lib. So it will be skewed a little. Let's take a listen to their version of net neutrality.
It's just scored a huge win, a win that a year or two ago didn't even seem possible for them.
No one, whether government or corporate, should control free and open access to the Internet.
The Federal Communications Commission said that both wireless and wired Internet providers are actually public utilities, and as such, the federal government can effectively regulate them and force them to abide by net neutrality rules.
Isn't that interesting that explaining this, that like your electric bill, your gas bill, your Internet bill, okay, with all due respect, you can choose not to have water, stinky house. You can choose to not to have electricity. And some people, God bless them, they don't have a choice because they can't afford electricity. They can't afford gas. They can't afford power. And they huddle up. But the Internet, that's cable television. The Internet is satellite TV. The Internet is optional, right? Now, maybe when the Internet first came out, Prodigy, Atari, AOL. Remember AOL?
AOL is the best ever, everybody.
But the Internet's not a public utility to be regulated by this government, is it? Well, we did create it, Al Gore. Those public utilities, sewage, not really optional, right? Watching Netflix, optional.
Now, if you don't know what net neutrality is, it is the idea that on the Internet we shouldn't be discriminating against different kinds of traffic. Google...
There we have it. We're not going to discriminate. Now, remember, folks, and people are going to go, well, there he goes again. Here are the facts. Indisputable facts here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. NSA, AP, Tea Party, IRS, Benghazi. Oh, the left doesn't like it when we bring up Benghazi. All these scandals. Can you trust the government? By the way, do we have that story again? Oh, Kevin, please don't play that story again and again and again. But this is a big deal that will be underplayed by the rest of the mainstream media.
Federal investigators revealing they've uncovered 32,000 emails possibly linked to allegations the agency targeted conservative groups applying for tax-exempt status. Emails were to and from Lois Lerner, a former IRS official at the center of the scandal. Congress requested the emails from the agency, but over the summer, officials told lawmakers most of them had been lost when Lerner's computer crashed. But now we're learning the IRS never even asked technicians to look for the tapes. And when independent investigators started looking around, they found them in just a few days. The IRS Inspector General is investigating possible criminal activity linked to the emails and tapes. It's unclear as to what kind of information they found in the emails or if they've uncovered any new information.
There we have it. Now, are we going to get that information? They never asked, remember? Oh, you know, we were just kind of goofing off and inadvertently got rid of all those computers. And now we're going to trust them with the Internet. Wasn't America built on the backs of innovation? Microsoft, Apple, Google, Googie, Googie, Googie. Try as I might, I found the best search engine for me is Googie Googie Googie. Googie, there you go, Googie Googie Googie. So now Googie, that spent money, that made all these innovations, is going to be penalized because it's we're going to equalize everything out? Is that digital communism?
Should not be able to pay and get a better, sort of faster internet connection to people's homes than some upstart startup search engine.
Hey, why don't we do this for the oil companies? Why don't we have net neutrality for the oil companies?
Net neutrality is considered by a lot of the people who were core in the growth of the internet to be the secret sauce in why the internet has become such an incredible innovative place. So the idea is that it's why you've been able to have startup after startup after startup come and revolutionize the entire industry. Why you've not just had the complete cementing of super-powered big monopolies in the way that you did with past technologies. The problem is when the FCC originally went and tried to impose net neutrality rules, they didn't want to call internet providers public utilities. That felt to them, you know, old school, big government. It's like what the government would have done in
19- Welcome to the old school big government power hour, everybody. Jim in Middleton, good morning. You're at 580 KIDO. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. I'm enjoying your show, listening every morning.
Well, thank
just
you.
Wanted to, I'm sorry?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, just let all the people that are kind of in favor of this net neutrality, just tell them, Kevin, that, hey, if you like your internet provider, you can keep it. What else do these people need to know about this administration?
Well, we've got to save the young people.
Well, I heard you say that, Kevin, and you know you're right. They do not realize, you know, what's going on. I mean, it's amazing that their eyeballs haven't opened up yet.
I would agree. And they're too busy drinking the Kool-Aid.
Evidently. But just like I said, just remind everybody that if they like it, you know, they can keep it, just like their health care and their doctor.
That's a great one, Jim. Thank you.
You bet. Have a great day, Kevin.
You too. Our great friend Jim from Middleton. You're listening to Kevin Miller of 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And more of your phone calls on net neutrality in a minute. We go to Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio, live at CPAC. Jared, good morning.
Good morning to you, Kevin.
So does this feel like a big audition, or is there anything else going on in CPAC besides the list of possible presidentials?
Well, there's always a lot more going on. There's strategy sessions, there's organizational meetings, so there's always other stuff going on. It gets far less attention, obviously, than the potential list of candidates that are walking through here today. Of course, the big focus will be on Jeb Bush. Laura Ingraham, the conservative radio host, is actually on stage right now, who came out and asked if anybody was skeptical about Jeb Bush, and a bunch of people here raised their hand, and she then went on saying that perhaps he should run with Hillary Clinton since their views are so similar on so many issues. So he's going to face a tough crowd here, to be sure.
Jared, for those of us that are catching your coverage here or watching on C-SPAN or listening to Sean Hannity live from there, which we carry here, what type of people attend CPAC?
You know, you have a lot of, I mean, they're mostly conservatives, and you know, it would certainly be the part of the Republican Party that probably skew a little bit more to the right side than say, what you might see at an RNC meeting or something like that. But these are folks that are oftentimes grassroots organizers. A lot of students are at CPAC. You'll see a lot of younger conservatives here. Which is why folks like Rand Paul, by the way, and Scott Walker, and sort of these younger names do so well at events like this, Ted Cruz. You know, this is not necessarily where the big money always is, although there is a lot of that here as well. But this is no doubt one of the biggest conservative get-togethers that they have. So I want to differentiate that a little bit from, you know, like an RNC event. These messages are going to be a little bit more pointed, I think, than that. And certainly you're looking at a cross-section of Republican voters, not an overall look at every Republican voter, but potentially the types of voters that come out in primaries. Remember, primary voters, both Republicans and Democrats, tend to be more conservative or more liberal. It is the more party faithful, it is the more politically active, it is those that really have strong opinions on these types of issues in their parties. So it is an important group for anybody thinking about running for office to, if not win over, at least, you know, get more comfortable with.
Now, from what we're hearing, some people are planning to walk out on Jeb Bush at CPAC. Have you heard anything about that?
I have. We'll see. I don't know how many people are going to walk out and how many people just aren't going to show up. And I know there are CPAC organizers who don't really want that light show to take place. We'll see how that that ends up. But like I said, you know, Jeb Bush is going to face a tough crowd here. There have been a lot of, you know, anti-Common Core events here. There have been a lot of anti-immigration reform events here, things that Jeb Bush has sort of staked some claim on. You know, right now, a lot of people don't like the fact that he's got this front-runner label simply because of his name. They don't like the stories about all of the money. They don't like a lot of things about him. So, you know, on the one hand, I think it shows his seriousness about trying to appeal to a broader base by showing up here. And like we talked about, I think, yesterday, he's not going to give a formal speech here. This is not going to be a stump speech from Jeb Bush. He's going to come out here and he's going to take questions for 20 minutes. He seems to perform a little bit better in that way. We have seen him give speeches that have been, you know, a little lackluster, maybe falls just a bit flat, and then he gets to a Q&A session, and he's much, much better. So it's going to be 20 minutes of taking questions, and I imagine it could be a dicey 20 minutes. In many respects, I think you are going to see a lot of people here to see how he answers those questions. Even if they don't like what he has to say, even if they don't anticipate ever supporting him, they may want to see how he handles this situation, handles this room.
Jared, finally, about, what, 10,000 people there?
Oh, I have no idea. Certainly not in one room at any given time, but that's probably right from a over there. How many people are here at different events? Absolutely. There's always about four or five different things going on at one time, so it's hard to get a sense of how many people are total, but I'm sure organizers know how many people are registered for the event. 10,000, probably not an unusual number.
Jared, have fun.
Thank you.
Jared Halpern joining us, Fox News Radio, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller talking net neutrality. Dustin and Cuna, thanks for your patience. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, Kevin, I guess I just don't really understand what the problem with net neutrality is. I kind of see it as more of a protection to keep the way the internet, it's the way it's always been.
All right. Well, here's what I know. All of a sudden, the internet's going to be a public utility. The government's going to regulate it. You know, why not keep it the way it is?
Well, I think if they didn't regulate it, it would allow these companies to change it. They would be able to say, like, say, Cable One, for instance, who also provides cable TV, would be able to say, hey, you know, Netflix is really starting to bite into our cable TV subscription, so how about we slow down Netflix and get people to buy our cable TV? So I kind of see it as a protection that way from these companies that basically have a monopoly. So, and I do understand that, yes, I don't know if this ruling opens up a back door for the government to do even more, which that does concern me, but the companies are also a concern. So I just think we have to cross each bridge as it comes. And right now the companies seem to be a bigger threat to change the internet.
What do you think though, of the argument though, you let the free market rule and, you know, if you don't like Cable One, you can go to CenturyLink or you can go to somebody else.
Well, I do think that the free market is definitely a big deal, but not so much for internet with the way it's set up here. There's not very many options. You know,
well,
I live in CUNA.
Right.
And,
oh, I'm sorry.
And CenturyLink isn't even an option for me where I'm at because the speeds are only like 1.5 meg instead of 50 meg with Cable One.
Sounds like a commercial.
Yeah. It's kind of rough where I'm at. But like, say, other areas in the country where Comcast basically dominates, I don't know.
Well, but they aren't doing that now. They could, but they're not. I mean, then the government would come down. Shouldn't the government wait before there's some type of a egregious act before they universally do this?
I think there's already been a ruling against Comcast for actually slowing down Netflix. So these companies, they could use this as a way to increase their revenue and say, hey, if you want, I know Netflix is kind of the best example to use, but hey, if you want your Netflix to work, you're going to pay us, say, $7 or $8 more a month.
Hold on, I don't know what you're talking about with Netflix.
If these cable companies could come down on you,
no,
and,
I was going to play a clip here.
More,
I was going to be a clip and be funny, but go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No problem.
First time I've ever called a radio station, so.
Hey, look, this is the first time I've actually spoken in a coherent sentence, so we're good.
Anyways, I don't know. I kind of see it as a protection now from these big companies. For now,
but, what about this, Dustin, when you have the government that has spied on its own people, audited conservative groups, the health exchange, blah, 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 promises one thing as Jim from Middleton said, hey, if you want your doctor, you know, you want to keep your doctor, you can. We've seen that go out the window. It kind of like what I said yesterday to a lot of folks. Do you trust the government bureaucrats or the corporate raiders?
Well, sadly, I don't think we can trust either one of them very much. I'm definitely with you on all those things you listed off about the government. I'm with you on all those other things, but this net neutrality thing, I think those companies are, you know, they're eagerly looking for more profits, and rightly so, but I think the possibility of them kind of holding our favorite sites hostage unless we pay more money is a bigger deal right now than the government is on this topic.
Well, you know, don't be a stranger. How old are you, Dustin, by the way?
33.
Young guy. Got a lot to look forward to. Got to help those young people today because a lot of people aren't as with it as you.
No, thanks. Well, I hope the government didn't, you know, open up a little back door with this deal to kind of do worse things in the future. Like, you know, they might regulate talk like this or, you know, other conservative talk, but with this ruling. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Dustin, take care. Don't be a stranger. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks.
All right. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Time for traffic now.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Now, Rand Maya and I were talking about this a moment ago. We're looking for C-SPAN on our cable package here, and Ever Frugal, the broadcast center, we don't get the high-tiered package here, so no C-SPAN for us. Of course, that's the FCC regulations now coming to the Internet. Before we get back to net neutrality, I got to hit you with this, and this goes out to all the House of Cards fans coming up. I guess it's a digitally downloaded, what, this morning or what, as of midnight?
Did you think I'd forgotten you? Perhaps you hoped I had. When the money's coming your way, you don't ask any questions. But now it's clear. Lanigan's never been anything but a front. Do I tell the president? No. He'll wonder why I didn't know, which makes me look uninformed. Or he'll blame the messenger for involving him, which makes me look careless. No, it's a trap. I must keep this to myself. And the butchery begins.
There we have it. It's again another secular holiday. Now, we'll binge on House of Cards like a free-for-all at the Golden Corral, and then we'll be clamoring for Season 4. Of course, that's Netflix. One of the innovations of the Internet that could be under fire with the new net neutrality rules. Why? Because, look, everybody loves to stream, and, you know, for $8, $9 a month, you love it. In fact, House of Cards getting a lot of attention today here at 580 KIDO.
Frank Underwood's ascent to power in House of Cards has been incredible to watch. And as bad weather envelops the country, if you haven't binge-watched Season 1 and 2, do so now. It is one of the most brilliant stars in the television galaxy.
We're murderers, Francis.
We're survivors.
At its core, Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright play Frank and Claire Underwood, a couple in love with each other and with accumulating political power. To watch them maneuver through the halls of the DC universe is not for the faint of heart. They are ruthless, and yet I cannot and will not look away. Season 3 premieres midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern on Netflix. Michelle Polino, Fox News Radio.
There we have it. There we have it. So I'm sure a lot of people are taking the day off, watching House of Cards while the Internet goes round and round. If you're just waking up this morning at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, we are talking about net neutrality. We've had two calls, Jim saying, Kevin, you're right. Putting the government in charge of the Internet, treating it like a public utility is wrong. And on the other hand, we've had Dustin saying, look, these corporations are greedy. These corporations are going to, you know, put you or push you or promote you to one of their services, and you're going to have to pay extra to get Kevin Spacey. You're going to have to pay extra for this. Well, if that's the case, then you file the lawsuit. It really comes down to this in America Today at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Who do you trust? Who do you trust when it comes to the Internet? By the way, do you trust the government? Do you trust Googie? Googie, Googie, Googie. Do you trust Apple? Has the government really done anything as far as expand the internet, the World Wide Web? I don't buy that it's a public utility. The internet is a choice. The phone companies, of course, there's public utilities. They're not regulated anymore. So why the internet, Rachel Sutherland?
Lawsuits are expected now that the FCC has approved rules that prohibit broadband providers from giving some companies fast lanes while slowing down other content. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler says it's about openness and expression.
This is no more a plan to regulate the internet than the First Amendment is a plan to regulate free speech.
Verizon has successfully sued the FCC before to block a similar set of rules. Republican lawmakers have signaled they're not happy with the regulations. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says they'll strike a blow to the future of innovation. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
No, it's funny. What are the Republicans doing? There were two Republicans on the FCC committee, and look, they voted against it, but they were outvoted by the Democrats that had a 3-2 majority. Why doesn't Congress vote on this? The FCC, they're from the government. They're here to help. Kind of like the IRS, kind of like the NSA, kind of like all those institutions that we can trust to make sure that we're good, we're happy, we're safe. We can trust the government, can't we? More on that in a minute at 580KIDO. Time for Coming up next, our Second Amendment activist harassing our elected officials. Details next with Greg Pruitt, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.